Welcome to the Agricultural Economics Podcast. This is your host, Jessica Eyes, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster, head of the department here. Ken, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing great. New year off to a good start.
It is off to a good start. Did you have a good holiday?
I did.
So did you do anything special for the holidays?
Yeah, I had a good time. I was able to rest and relax. How about you?
Excellent. Did the same thing. Yeah, got caught up on some reading and some thinking and got rejuvenated. The students are back on campus.
I know.
So it's really exciting, and it was a bit of a ghost town, but now they're back and they're vibrant, and I've been in the classroom a couple of times already this week, and it's just exciting.
It is. It feels good to have that energy back on campus. And 2017 brings more than just the students. We also have a very interesting initiative that kicked off last year, but I really think it's going to be gaining a lot of momentum this year. And with us, we have Dr. Maria Marshall, who's heading this initiative. Maria, you want to tell us about this new project you have?
Sure, I'd love to. I'm very proud of it and excited about what we're going to have coming in this coming year. So the initiative, it's for family firms, the Purdue Initiative for Family Firms. We call it PIF for ease.
I love that.
And it's really about helping family business manage better and understand and learn about family businesses. So just like you would learn strategy or finance or go to class about that, you actually, I think, have to learn how to be a family business and all that it entails.
So talk to us a little bit about what are the keys of make a family business different than another business. My dad always said, don't go into business with family, but he never really elaborated.
Well, a lot of that is because the dysfunctions you bring from your family, you can transfer
that's
to
what
the
he
business.
Was talking about.
So I think the one thing that makes it different, if you look at our website, for example, you'll see a pie chart, and one slice of that pie is maintaining family bonds. And if you think of the family business as glue, things that you talk about and brings your family together, then that's what makes it a family business. And we want to make sure that everybody thinks of the family business as glue and not as a saw that hacks between family members.
Yeah, that could be really tricky, couldn't it? So are there some general sort of rules for how to do that you can share with our audience? I mean, what are some high level? I mean, I know we can't get it. PIF is going to be here for a while, and it's mm-hmm. going to be interacting with people for a long time. But I mean, are there some sort of target areas, I guess, where you see yourselves focusing?
Sure. I think our two main areas that I think will have particular competitive advantages is thinking about strategic planning in the family business and connecting that to maintaining the family bonds. We have a succession planning team, for example, and they do a lot in succession planning, and the Center for Commercial Ag does a lot in succession planning, and we'll be working with them. And there's a lot of, I think, consultants working on financial planning and estate planning, and we have Jerry Harrison, for example, that works a lot in estate planning. I think where we bring in is actually looking at all of those things, but actually tying how your family values, your goals, tie to strategic planning and making that business profitable for the family and the business.
What types of services or information does PIF provide?
So we have tons of resources on the website, and we keep adding to that, and we do research. But we have a webinar coming up January 31st that the title is Family Business as a Competitive Advantage. And we have a workshop coming up in March, which is we call it a Family Business Workshop, which talks about succession planning and transferring. But a lot of it is about communication and thinking about how that affects strategic planning and succession. So we'll have webinars, workshops. We'll be putting out a quarterly newsletter that talks about all these four pieces of the pie. And we also have what we call the question of the month. So we put out a survey question of the month, and we'll talk about the results on the website and in our quarterly newsletter. So we're trying to keep people engaged.
I love that idea. How can people find you if they're interested in seeking out this initiative?
So our website is www.purdue.ag/PIF. PIFF, so not too long of a website address.
And if they get lost, they can just Google PIF space Purdue, and yeah. As it turns up, it's the first thing that comes up.
Nothing.
Yay!
Nothing like Google. It's
much easier than remembering a web address.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is.
So tell us a little bit about your team of people that you've put together to deliver some of this PIF
okay. material? So it's myself, Renee Wyatt, who works full-time on the initiative. We have some faculty members that are affiliates, Dr. Nicole Widmar, Dr. Michael Langemeyer, Dr. Craig Dobbins, Dr. Marco Delgado, and David Widmar as well, part of CCA, are all associated and affiliated with the initiative.
How many businesses are actually family-run?
Well, depending on the definition of a family business.
Okay.
So if the definition is you just have to be yourself and another person working in the business, then it's a lot. It's like 80-some% according to some statistics. If it's family owned, so you have to have two people in the day-to-day active management and own it, it's usually a little bit lower. But there's no real statistic on family businesses because the definition seems to shift and change. So it depends. I think that it's most businesses, especially most all of small businesses, because somehow there's this intermingling between the family and the business. And when you started it, you probably used family assets, you're using family labor, you're using family social capital. And so there's a tie. So even if you don't have somebody in the day-to-day management of that business, they're certainly affected by that business. They're a stakeholder. They're in the stakeholder in how much resources you put in right into that business. And so you're still maintaining those family bonds by telling this person, well, yes, the business is doing well. I'm working 70, 80, 90 hours a day. That affects your family household, actually. Yeah. It's two systems that are interrelated. So for me, almost every business is a family business because you still have that resource that goes back and forth.
That makes a lot of sense. I never thought of it that way. But I do think back to some of the family members in my family who run their own business, and I absolutely observed everything that you just described.
Yeah, no, I think it's tough. If you think about in a business context, sometimes you have to have some very straightforward, difficult conversations with your coworkers or your subordinates or your partners. And the fact that you also have to go have holiday dinner with them makes that much more difficult. I think that's why my dad said, don't go into business with family.
Well, I always say policies before problems. Yeah. And so if you set expectations for your children and how you're going to work with them, not the day they leave college, but set the expectations early. If you're going to talk about a prenuptial agreement, not the day they're walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
Not enforceable anyway, but still, not the time to bring it up.
Not, yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
And it can't be based on whether you like the in-law or not like the in-law.
And I remember, I just had this flashback to many years ago as an undergraduate student taking an advanced farm management class here at Purdue from Dr. Cadillac, who has since passed away. But the number of times that he emphasize the importance of having regular business-oriented meetings between everybody to organize, to discuss things as opposed to, oh, we'll get around to it, and then having it show up at the dinner table and have the discussion in the wrong environment.
It's an issue. According to a lot of small business, family business research, the number one reason that businesses fail is not legal structure, is not finance, is family dysfunction.
Do you have any examples that you've encountered that you can share over your years working in this area of like a success you've seen in a family business in overcoming a communication challenge?
I've seen several, and we've worked with some of the family businesses that work really well, have open communication, have learned the communication styles of the people in their business, and have been able to do that transition. The older generation, I'll call it older, younger generation, has allowed the younger generation to come in, make changes, work their strengths. I think those are success stories without naming like businesses. I've also seen it where the older generation uses the business as a way to keep a hold of their children or keep some control over their kids and is unable to make that transition. And what happens is businesses dissolve or you stop having Thanksgiving together, but you're still in business together. And unfortunately, we see quite a bit of that. Or everything's going well, but the older generation, the parents pass away. And that's when that second generation that's coming up finds out that they don't own the farm It's been subdivided into three ways with their non-farming siblings, and they have one third even though they've put tons of equity into that farm. We see that more than we would like.
And I'm sure that happens with non-farm businesses too.
Oh, for sure. I think it's easier for that to happen somehow in farm businesses because there's a lot of attachment to land assets, where in a lot of non-farm businesses, the assets aren't usually that, so, you know, you don't have that emotional tie to a building. And a lot of it is to bring a next generation in, it's more like, I need to make more sales, I need to make more product, versus I need to have more land and more assets.
Great. This has been really interesting. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining us to talk about the Purdue Initiative for Family Firms, PIF. And again, this was Dr. Maria Marshall, who's leading this initiative. And this has been the Purdue Agricultural Economics Podcast. If you're interested in learning more, you can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or you can check us out on the web
at www.agecon.purdue.edu.